The gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 9. Now, first of all, I want to thank all the people that ever volunteer to lay read, because it's not an easy job getting up here and even though you read over it and think you got it on top of it, sometimes words just bite you when you're trying to read them. I know, because I have to be up here every week and sometimes words bite me. So, you know, I appreciate it. Not just you, Carol, but everyone who does that. So if you aren't here today, you who are here, tell them that I'll try to tell them too, but let them know they appreciate it. And if you ever want to have the chance to make make a mistake in front of other people, I'd gladly let you be a lay reader too. No, I mean, if you'd like to serve God by doing that. Luke 9. As Jesus and his disciples traveled along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, and birds in the air, in the sky have nests, but the human one has no place to lay his head." Then Jesus said to someone else, "Follow me." He replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and spread the good news, the news of God's kingdom." Someone else said to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to those in my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. First things first. Now, and this, I'm practicing what I'm preaching today as far as putting first things first, because that first passage that Carol read, I could preach all summer on that passage and not do it justice. And am I not just using it, but I'm using the second passage too. And so if I can preach all summer on the first one and do another summer, I'm going to have to pare it down. I can't give you every... So you're going to get the cream from this passage today. I encourage you to go home and drink the milk too, but you'll get the cream. Putting first things first. Now, if you had only one match and you're in a dark, cold cave, what would you light first? The candle, the oil lamp, or the oil heater? Anybody? Exactly. Put first things first. The match. You got to light the match first to be able to light anything else. But see, that's what happens to us in our life. We get so caught up in what's down the road that we forget putting first things first is what's all important. This morning, I'd like to help us understand that a little bit better. That first passage that Carol read says, "You are called to freedom. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love." We're called to freedom, but freedom isn't free, and nor is it without a purpose. Does anyone know what tomorrow's 150th anniversary of? Happened about 170 miles from here. You might have slaves if it didn't come out the way it did. The Battle of Gettysburg, 150th anniversary of the battle starting is tomorrow, because it was 1863. Yeah, so it's a big deal, really. I wouldn't try to go to Gettysburg the next few days unless you really like crowds. Go to Vicksburg. But the big deal there is freedom wasn't free for them. They were fighting for a cause. In that battle, according to various reports, somewhere around 45,000 casualties. That's killed, injured, missing, captured. 45,000 in 3 days, 15,000 a day. And back in that day, there wasn't quite as many of us around, so that was a big number of men to go missing or injured or killed. They understood that what they were doing had a purpose. So freedom cost them something. Freedom costs us something too. There's two different types of fruit that are mentioned, basically, in the passage that Carol read. There's a wormy fruit, and there's the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you like wormy apples? Well, don't drink the apple juice then, because that's where that comes from. No, none of us likes... You know, what's the worst thing in the world? You know, the worst thing in the world is not finding an apple with a worm in it. It's taking a bite and finding an apple with half a worm in it. That's even worse. More protein. You can have my worm protein. The bottom line is this. In that list, sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use, casting spells, hate, fighting, losing your temper, competitive opposition. I like that one. Competitive. I'm not just going to oppose you. I'm going to be competitive about how I oppose you. Conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. All those things are the things that are wormy apples. That's a fruit we shouldn't have. That doesn't say that we can't enjoy and have a party. There's a difference between going to a party and partying in this. I think we know the difference. The difference between enjoying the fruit of the vine and over-enjoying the fruit of the vine. So when we're looking at this, it's not saying that your gods now have no fun. I'm very pious, can you tell? No, that's not what it says. What it says is we need to realize that there are things that lead too far. And we need to stay away from those wormy apples. Instead, we need to have the good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, how many of you have all those down pat? Oh, good. No one held up their hand, so I know that you aren't got that wormy fruit of lion going on. Good. But we should be working toward it. You know, and there's certain things that are easier for some of us than others. Gentleness. Moms are better at gentleness than dads are. An example, the kids jumping on the bed again after you've told them, don't jump on the bed. They fall off, crack open their head. Mom comes in, poor kid, bandaging him up and run him to the hospital saying, Dad, I told you so. Told you what was going to happen. You know, come on guys, admit it. We aren't as good at the gentleness as moms are. But we need to learn to be more gentle. We need to be more patient. And you know where I'm going with the patience in me, and that's dealing with the square. All right, I'm working on it. But it's really trying my patience. But I'm being better about it. But we need to grow. We don't have these down pat. I know that because if you had all those down pat, you'd be perfect. And if you're perfect, you wouldn't bother to come see me. You'd float off and see Jesus. He'd be translated like Enoch. Or maybe you get a little flashier ride like Elijah and go off in the flaming chariot. I don't know. But you wouldn't be stuck here anymore. But you are. So you're still stuck with me, and that means that you're in the same boat I am. Sinners doing our best to do what God wants us to do. Now, the second passage kind of tells us how we're going to use that fruit of the Spirit. We need to develop the fruit of the Spirit. All those things are important. We need to have those going in our life to various degrees. We're not all going to be perfect at them. We're not going to be perfect at any, but some are going to be better on the scale, than like a little sliding scale, you know. Some of us are going to have better on the gentleness, and some maybe have better on the joy scale, you know. And I think that that's important that people see that. I think is one of the most underrated gifts that God gives us. Joy, there's a difference between joyful and being happy. If I gave you $1,000, would you be happy?
No.
If I gave you $10,000, would you be?
Yes.
Okay. If I took it back away from you, would you be happy? No. See, happy is dependent on whether you're getting something or not. Joy does not depend on that. The joy of the Lord is my strength, it says. So that means that when things are bad and going around you that are happening bad, the joy of the Lord says that it's okay because all this works out for God's will, for those who are called according to His purpose. So we know it's going to work out okay. So we have a joy that's important that we develop. Joy that the world doesn't get because the world gets happy. They don't get joy. And there's a difference. You know, I think I've told you the story before about the Chinese man who had a son. And his son was trying to break a horse. He wasn't supposed to. And the horse threw him, broke his leg very badly, so badly that he had a limp. So someone was coming to talk to him and said, that's terrible. He says, well, no, you need to understand it wasn't that bad because, well, yeah, the horse did run away. And they said, oh, yeah, that's even worse. He says, no, because when it came back with three mares. Well, that's a good thing. And I said, well, yeah. And he says, of course, when the three mayors came, then the army came, wanted more, you know, from me. And they saw my son and wanted to get him into the army. Conscript, that's the word. I knew it wasn't constrict. It's not a boa. Anyway, wanted to put him in the army. But he had a messed up leg. So they didn't put him in the army. So he's still around. So what the world was thinking was terrible sometimes worked out really good. Joy shouldn't be about circumstances. We should be able to be joyful in the midst of storms. Because folks, storms happen. Storms may happen on your way home today. Storms may be minor storms, inconvenience, you know, like a flat tire when you're in a hurry. But maybe that flat tire kept you from an accident down the road. Strawberries are not quite as good this year, in case y'all haven't noticed it yet. I mean, I love strawberries, but it so happens that the people that own the strawberry farm there near Andover are affiliated with Andover Presbyterian Church, and that's where they get their strawberries for their festival. And so when I was making a comment about the strawberries not being as good, they explained to me the reason why. It's because we had too much sun and not enough rain. They turned red before they got sweet. Storms have a purpose. If it makes our strawberries better, it's going to make us better too. Now, I don't like storms, but they're important, and we need to keep joy in that. Now, how do those fruits of the Spirit, how does that fit in to the last part of this? This part of from Luke. Well, we see three people. First one comes to Jesus and says, I'll go wherever you go. Now, Jesus gives a really strange response. Someone comes up to me and says, yeah, I'll go wherever you're going, John. And John says, well, I'm going to Walmart. All right, I'll still go. But if John said, I don't have anywhere sleep tonight, I go, well, that's nice, but I'm not inviting you home. I just saying wherever you're going, I'd go. But this guy says, I'll go wherever you're going. Jesus says, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. That's a weird response. But Jesus sees what's on the inside. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Think about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And he tells him, you know. And he says, I've done all those things. He says, well, there's only one thing you lack then. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And he said, great. No, Scripture says he went away heavy-hearted because he had a lot of stuff. Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. So he knew this man. So he says, understand, following me is not going to be easy. God probably didn't follow me. The next one seems even a little harsher. He says, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. Jesus says, no, come follow me now. Let the dead bury their dead. Now, how many of you think that's harsh? I think it's harsh. It told it some study. Now, there's two different ways that this has been interpreted, and I'm not sure which way it is, because it could be either one. The first one is, anyone know what an ossuary box is? If not, you haven't watched enough History Channel. It's this box that's about so big that they put bones in. They found, that's how they buried them back then. What they'd do is when someone would die, it's kind of gruesome, but you kind of put them away for a year or so till everything went away but the bones. Then you gather the bones up and put them in this box, and that's how you buried them. So one group of scholars think that what he meant was, yeah, his dad was dead, but they needed to let nature take its course so he could properly put him in the box. Then he'd follow Jesus. Could be. The other one says that it was an idiomatic expression that basically said, his dad wasn't dead yet. But when he's dead, and I'm not doing my family things, then I'll come follow you. But, you know, dad's gone. I want to deal with doing that first. Either way, the bottom line is the same. Jesus says, no, follow me now. Don't put anything in the way. Third one, he comes up and says, follow me. And he says, well, I'll follow you. Just one little deal. I need to say goodbye to my family. Now, Jesus says, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, The guy just wants to say goodbye to his family. That's harsh, I think. But Jesus had a point that he was making here, that following him is going to cost us something. Now, how many of you have plowed with an oxen? Anyone? Yeah, me neither. Like I said in the first service, my idea of farming when I was growing up was going to the produce section at Kroger. So, Kroger is a grocery store in where I grew up, just in case you were wondering what that was. Well, I never plow with a tractor or an ox or a donkey. But I have ridden a bicycle. How many have ridden a bicycle? Okay. When you're on a bicycle and you look over your left shoulder, what tends to happen?
Crash.
You kind of turn a little to the left. If you look over your right shoulder, you kind of go a little bit to your... So when you look over your shoulder, you're no longer headed where you're supposed to go. That can be a problem. I did a magic trick once. I looked over my right shoulder and turned into a car. A parked car at that. So, what Jesus is saying is when we look back, we can't keep ourselves focused where we need to be going. So, the bottom line, it's going back to say goodbye to the family was turning your head away from where you need to go. We need to put the first things first. It's not security, not a place to lay your head. It's not familial obligations, family obligations. It's not even your family, period, or any other expected obligations, work or otherwise. Putting things first that need to be first means putting the God's kingdom first in all that we do and say. St. Augustine, or St. Augustine, either way is right, said that we need to tell people, you know, about God. We need to share the gospel everywhere we go. And use words if necessary. That's what this putting first things first is all about. It's living our lives in such a way that people see God through us. When you look in the mirror, in an ideal world, it would be Jesus looking back. We would be looking so much like Jesus that we would, that's what people would see in us, and it's what we could see in ourselves. Well, sometimes when I look in there, I'm afraid what I look at, so I don't look. That's not the right answer. We need to work on what's in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, doing those things to make us what God wants us to be so that we can go out. Now, it's great that you're here. I need to teach you all like the first service. We had 20 in the first service, and they all set up at the front. All except for one who sat over here. Just had 19. Had, you know, anyway. But y'all spread way out. You know, it's okay. Everyone showers on Sunday morning. You can come up and sit closer. But the idea of coming together is wonderful. And I'm great that you do. But what does the community know about what happens in here? If they aren't in here? Not much. You know, I've looked and I've never seen one peeking in the windows during service. They have to be like 30 foot tall to do it on these windows. And they'd have to really squish through the bushes on this window. But I've still never seen anyone do it. For some reason that... So if we want them to know what's going on in here, we're going to have to show them by how we live our lives out there. When we're at ShopRite, when we're at the gas pump, when we're at work, when we're on the road, when we're... I was going to ignore that one once. But I went around the square. Or when we're working on our lawn tractor and it won't start. And we're saying, oh, nice tractor. Please start. Because I know that's how you talk to it when it doesn't work, right? Yeah. Sometimes we got to be aware of what we're saying when we're outside because people are listening. That's what God wants us to do. Live our lives in such a way that by putting Him first, putting first things first, everything else will fall into place. Let's pray. Father, help each of us put the first thing first and let everything else fall into place behind it. It's in Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.